237.
237.
Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. They searched through heaven and found a Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. Oh, what a Savior, oh hallelujah. His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred, his side was riven. He gave his life's blood for even me. He left the Father with all his riches, with calmness sweet and serene. Came down from heaven and gave his life's blood to make the vilest sinner clean. Oh, what a Savior, oh hallelujah. His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred, his side was riven. He gave his life's blood for even me.
There's
chilly waters I'll soon be crossing. His hand will lead me safely. I'll join the chorus in that great city and sing up there forevermore. Oh, what a Savior, oh hallelujah. His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred, his side was riven. He gave his life's blood for even me.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, what a Savior. Praise the Lord.
I have a demon She may be making laps in that living room. Amen. Anyone else have anything on your heart this morning? Did you come prepared to worship this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. He is so worthy of our praise and honor. He is so worthy. You have your Bibles, you want to turn to Mark chapter 4. We are still talking about the parables. We are, this passage, I have read it several times. I don't think I've ever taught on it. Don't think I've ever preached on it. Don't even know if I've given it a whole lot of thought. I know I've read it, but I never have really got in and thought about this passage and this parable this morning, and starting at verse 26, it's the parable of the growing seed. Mark 4:26. If you would stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you, Father, for your blessings. Thank you for your mercy. God, we thank you for the kingdom of God. We thank you, Lord, for these parables. And Father, we thank you for this passage this morning. God, that we don't understand, and it's a mystery how that you work. But Lord, we're so glad you do. Father, I'm so thankful of the growth that only you can give. God, you're the only one that can bring life. Father, we thank you for that life. We ask you to move and minister. And Lord, help the old preacher boy anoint me from up on high. God, I pray you forgive me. I know I'm not worthy to be used, but I pray you'll use me again. God, you just bring glory and honor to your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This is one of the parables. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is one of the parables where he's talking about the kingdom of God. And I've sat down and started making some notes and looking at this. I looked around a minute and I said, boy, if I don't watch it, it'll take two services just to preach my introduction. But thinking, and I wanted to hit, and the Lord just started flooding my mind with thoughts and scripture, and I started looking, thinking about the kingdom of God. And thinking about this, and I thought of this, that it's the kingdom of the gospel. It's his rule over the hearts of believers. This was his kingdom, and he was talking about this kingdom in Matthew 3:2, the Bible, John the Baptist, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. John the Baptist, the forerunner of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, was preparing the way for the kingdom. He said, prepare ye the way, but get ready. And there's a word that he used, and I'll use it again in a minute, but that word was repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is coming, or the kingdom of God is coming. In Matthew 4:17, From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he was right now ushering in a new thing, ushering in something the world had never known. Up until that time, religion was, I don't know, I'd have wanted to have been saved, but I'd have hated to have been part. I had to keep up with all those feasts, all those laws, all those rules, know which lamb to kill, know when to kill it, had to go and do all of this stuff and so many things and the religious system and whew, I'm not smart enough for all that. I'd have had to, it had been simplified for this old boy. And something new was coming. There was a new sheriff in town. He was getting ready to set up a new rule. He was getting ready to do something that had been promised throughout the prophets, through the law, all the way back even to Genesis chapter 3. It had been promised what was coming, but nobody really knew how it was going to come about. Glory, hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I still get excited when I think about it. As we were singing that song and some of those words of that song started just resonating in my heart, I thought it was going to go through the roof. Glory, hallelujah. Ain't it good to be part of the kingdom of God? See, Jesus is the king of his kingdom. And if we want to be part of it, the first thing he said, repent. Repent. Change our way of thinking about sin. Turn from what we've done and change the way that we look at sin. Amen? And that is sin was introduced in the early in the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve sinned, and we were separated from God. Sin separates. And what happens so often, most of y'all, and you're going to have to sit through it again, the Lord just laid this on my heart, but I hate to say this, but I dislike cats. I stoke a fire. I've got Janice fired up now. But I hate snakes. I've never petted a snake. I've petted a cat. Believe it or not, Jim. I've been scratched by a cat. I've not been bit by a snake. Because when I see them, I go the other way. I don't have the faith. I'm out of here. I'm going the other way. What if I looked at sin like I look at those snakes? I wouldn't touch it. I'd run away from it. But I'm afraid that we look at sin like a cat. We dislike it. But every now and then we'll pick them up and pet them anyway. And we get scratched. My neighbor's cat bit me just not too long. I was trying to be nice. He jumped up on the tractor, I pet it. It's a good thing for that cat, the owner was there. That's all I got to say. But what if we looked at sin as a deadly snake? If there was a rattlesnake laying back here in the foyer, we'd all be up this way. We wouldn't dare go to the back of the church. We wouldn't dare get close to that rattlesnake. We'd be sure that the children didn't come up the steps. We'd be sure that everybody was got away, that we didn't want anybody to get close to that poisonous thing. If it's a black cat back there, we might get a broom and kind of usher it outside. How do we look at sin this morning? See, sin, as we've been going through the book of Genesis, sin is, as God told Cain, said, sin is crouched at your door as an animal getting ready to pounce. Just like that rattlesnake coiled up, getting ready to strike. Sin's ready to take you to hell. Sin's ready to destroy you. I'm afraid we pet them sometimes because we own them. Amen. We ought to run from it. Our change comes back to the word repent. My change of thinking about sin, that I no longer want any part of it. I no longer, that God's Holy Spirit now dwells within inside of me, and there's no place for sin in my life. See, this kingdom of God was introduced or prophesied by Daniel back in Daniel chapter 7. I won't read the verses, but this is the fulfillment of that prophecy. This kingdom was given to Jesus by the Father. Amen. Matthew 28:18, he says, "All power has been given to me in heaven and in earth." All power, all authority, it has all been given to him by the Father. John 3:35, the Bible said, "The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand." Jesus is the King of this kingdom. And if we want to be part of this kingdom, we want to be subjects of this kingdom, we have to repent of our sins. And come to the point in our life where we say, "Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I failed you so much. But I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He came and died for my sins. And I accept that forgiveness. I ask you to come into my heart and forgive me and make me a new creature and make heaven my home." That prayer in faith will change your eternal destination.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, the Lord's this whole... See, I'm afraid we think that if I do more good than I do bad, that the scales will weigh down. And when I stand before God, He'll see more good deeds than bad deeds. And I've been better than I've been bad, so... It sounds good, don't it? But the Bible says if you offend one point of the law, you're guilty of the whole thing. And if we are going to try to go in on our goodness, we're in bad shape. See, it's not rituals. It's not a cookie cutter thing that we can say, "All right, I've said this many prayers. I've witnessed to this many people. I've paid this much in my tithes. And I've fed the poor here. And I've done this. And I've went to church 5 Sundays in a row." Amen. See, is that not the way we think? I mean, really, intellectually, and people think that, "Well, I'm good." And this morning, and you might say, "Well, preacher, you're a legalistic preacher." I'm far from that, but I know I sound like it sometimes. But it's not about legalism. It's not about rituals. It's not about things that we do. It's not about praying every day. It's not about how many times we read the Bible. It's not about what it's God's not setting up our keeping count. It ain't got nothing to do with all those things. He loves us so much that He gave the best heaven had to offer. And He loves us so much that He cares about my daily living. My daily walk and what I do. Praise the Lord. See, we are now living, if we are Christians, under Christ's rule in His kingdom. And the peace with God and the joy produced by the Holy Spirit. Well, let this Tekaifa service. Well, I'm ready to preach now. I want to look at this verse that The kingdom of God is as a man that cast the seed into the ground. We're thinking about this seed. And of course we know, and most of us has put out gardens or been around farming enough, we know a little bit about putting the seed into the ground and it growing them. This seed in this passage that I'm convinced is the Word of God. And or the gospel. If you're here under my voice this morning and you're saved and you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, it's our job to be sowing seeds. That's not an option. Go ye therefore in all the world. Amen. And don't say, well, if you feel like it. If you get a chance, won't you share the gospel? Go ye therefore into all the world. After the Acts 1:8, after the Holy Ghost has come on you, you shall be endued with power from up on high, and ye shall be witnesses. Or does it say you might be witnesses? Ye shall be witnesses of me. It's our job to sow the seed, but then leave it alone. How many of you has ever went out and sowed seed in your garden and went back 2 days later and started digging part of it up just to see if it's sprouting? Boy, I wonder if that seed sprouted. Let me get the shovel. I'm going to go check it. People think you're just crazy, wouldn't they? That's the way it is with planting the seed for God. It's not our job to make sure that it grows. It's our job to plant it. It's our job to water it. It's our job to cultivate around it. But God will give the increase. That's what the apostle said in 1 Corinthians. God is the one that gives the increase. So I'm so afraid and I'm guilty. And I think it's my job to grow the church. I think it's my job that people get saved. It's my job to be faithful to what God's called me to be. He'll take care of the rest.
Amen. Amen.
I've done a little study and research. There's over 7 billion people in the world. 2.4 billion of those are Christians claim to be Christians. 800 million of those are Protestants. So, I thought, wow. I mean, that's what, 3.7% of the people. Or 30-some percent, I'm sorry. And I got to thinking, and 2,000 years ago, they started out with 0, then 12. There was 120 at the day of Pentecost. 3,000 got added on the day of Pentecost. 5,000 right after that. It said God added to the church daily those that should be saved. And I got to thinking, every one of us in here today that's saved can trace probably back to those 12. If not those 12, at least those 120. But all probability could go back to Peter or Paul. Probably Paul. You trace it. Paul preached and gave the Gentiles hope. That gospel jumped on a boat and come over here. Glory, and I'm in heaven. As good as being in heaven today. I'm in the kingdom of God. What if somewhere around that line somebody dropped the ball? What if one day, that when the gospel was getting from this one to this one, that's going to come right on down the line to me, they said, I don't feel like sharing my faith today. Well, God would have used somebody else, I'm sure, but would have missed out on a blessing. To being in the lineage of carrying the gospel. Today, it's up to us to carry the gospel. See, these folks was faithful. We're saved today because somebody was faithful. Somebody did what they were supposed to do. Somebody did what God said to do. Somebody shared the gospel. Maybe they had a headache that day. They may have been sick at their stomach that day. They may have been not having a good day at all. But they still stepped up and said, there's a Jesus that loves you. There's a Jesus that died on the cross for you. And if you'll believe Him, then He'll save your soul. Amen. See, this seed is an important thing, and we get to be a small part of it. We're not going to save anybody. They said D.L. Moody met a guy that's drunk stumbling down the street one night, and he ran up and grabbed Moody by the hand, shook his hand, and said, D.L. Moody, a man that saved me. He said, you look like somebody I've saved. God does the same.
Amen. That's right.
We see the seed. I want to look at the secret. Verse 27 and 28. And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after the full ear, the full corn of the ear. See, the growth by the word's a mystery. I do not understand how this word can pierce an old hard heart, an old rough, and make the most loving and kind person out of it. Whew, over my head. I don't know how little seed germinates in the ground and produces. I don't know how bones grow in the womb. Whew. All this is mysteries to me. I don't understand it. I just accept it. See, no one can explain how a seed in the ground can be dormant and laying in the ground, and just a few hours, it starts swelling up from the moisture of the dirt. And then within 24 hours, probably the hull will bust open and one will go down and the chute will start up. And the next thing you know, you'll see that busting up out of the ground. Science has learned how to produce the seed. They can take all the chemicals, they can put it all together, but they can't produce life. That only comes through God. He's the only one that can give life. He's the only one that can bring peace. He's the only one that can give comfort. He's the only one that can help you through the hard times. He's the only one that brings life into a heart. The Samaritan woman that Jesus saw in John chapter 4 was convicted and saved of her sins, because she trusted Jesus. Paul held the coats. Saul held the coats while they stoned the first martyr, Stephen. And he heard him at the last. And he heard his preaching. He heard that sermon. And then by chapter 9, he was on his face before God calling upon him.
Amen.
I don't understand that. But God does. John chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible says you don't know the Spirit moves just like the wind blows. We don't know where it's going. We don't know how God's working. I have no idea how God's working in this service today. How the Spirit of God moves and how He works, how He convicts, how He comforts, how He guides. He'll take a congregation this size and may have 25 different ministries going on at the same time. Woo! Glory! That's the power of God. That's the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
John 6:44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent him draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. See, I can preach up here till I'm blue in the face, lose my breath and fall plumb off the stage. But until the Spirit moves on the heart, you'll not be convicted and drawn to the Father.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This word here in verse 28, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. This is the Greek word automatos, where we get our English word automatic. The only other place that this is mentioned is in Acts chapter 12 and verse 10, where Peter was in jail and the doors opened up, and the scripture says opened up of its own accord. You remember when he was going out and the angel woke him up, and they said that the gate opened up of its own accord. That's the same word that's used here, automatos, automatic. When that seed goes in, it automatically, the same God that released Peter out of prison is the same God that causes the seed to bring forth fruit. Glory, hallelujah. It's the same God that pierces our heart. The same God that touches our loved ones. The same God that is in control. It's automatic. It's His movement. It's His timing. It's the way He works.
Amen.
Jesus was likening the kingdom of heaven to this. First the blade sprung up, a new Christian tender. In 1 Peter 2:2, the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. That shoot jumps up. Do you remember when God saved you? You remember that day? Boy, you was ready to charge health water pistol with it. Excited about being saved. Excited about the things of God. Excited about what Jesus had done in your heart.
Amen.
Couldn't wait to tell folks about it. Couldn't wait to share it to the family. Couldn't wait to share it to the co-workers. I remember it all very vivid. Seeing more people says, well, you're legalistic. No, I'm not legalistic. But this is things that we are to do to become and grow into what God wants us to be.
Amen.
Now, I tell little Mavericks, over 2-year-old, be 3-year-old in February. I've got some help. And his grandma asked him last night, said, Maverick, you want a sippy cup? He said, nope. Said, you going to drink that bottle the rest of your life? Yep. What kind of bodies would we have if we drank milk forever? I think Becca probably was eating steak by the time she quit the bottle. I mean, that girl loves meat. But we got to get on the meat, don't we? We got to get into the deep things of God. And I'm afraid the Bible says that when we ought to be teachers, we're not in deep enough that we don't know the things yet. Like the Bible study in Sunday school this morning, which Dan done a tremendous job on. But it's some of the deep things of God. Things that makes you scratch your head and makes you wonder and makes you dig in deeper. See, our growth is by prayer. See, I told you, preacher, you're legalistic. You got to pray. No, you don't have to, but it's our privilege.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace.
Amen.
Before I whip you. No, anyway, it says that you might obtain mercy.
Amen.
Woo, who's that benefiting? God? No, it's benefiting me. When I come and let my petitions be made known, and I come and I fall before Him, and I say, God, I can't handle this. Lord, I don't understand what's going on. He says, you don't have to. I got it. And by the time I get up, the Holy Spirit has got his arm around me and he's saying, it's going to be all right. It's okay. I got this. Woo, glory. You're talking about a blessing. That didn't do nothing for God, but it done a lot for me. See, it's for me. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that we can go day and night, no matter when it is, we can go right to the throne of God. I don't have to go to some man. I don't have to call up a priest. I don't have to call up a preacher friend of mine. I can get right on my knees beside the bed and I can say, oh dear God of the universe, I need you now more than I ever have. And I don't get a busy signal. Bible study. Here's again, you're being legalistic, preacher. No, I'm not. The Bible study again is a benefit of me. These are the words of life. What's the Bible say? I've been begotten by the Word. This tells me how to go. This gives me things that there's times when I'm overwhelmed, I can go to the Scripture. It tells me how to grow. It tells me how to treat people. You ever been ridiculed? Anybody been ugly at you? This tells me to smile at them and pray for them. Amen. You want to get a strange look? Next time somebody blesses you out, cusses you or something, smile at them. Bless you. I'll be praying for you. Amen. That's what the Bible says to do. Amen. When they quit looking at you strange, they'll say, hey, something's different about that guy. See, it's the words of life. We live in a world today where there's no truth, or very little. This is the truth. Direction. Here's another one. You're going to say, I'm real legalistic. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Yeah, I knew that's coming, preacher. Let me read what it says. See, we say that part, we don't always finish the verse. Most of us know the not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, but how many of us can just immediately come up with the rest of the verse? See, the rest of the verse says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Encouraging one another. Lifting each other up. Praying for each other. Crying with each other. Laughing with each other. Exhorting one another. As much more you see the day approaching. As we see evil getting worse. Good being called evil. Evil being called good. We see all these things happen. As much more we see that day approaching, we need to encourage each other more than we ever have. I need this fellowship. Y'all put me in the middle the other night and formed the circle and prayed. You've been praying for us. Wow, I couldn't have made it without you. I'm going to share something personal with you. I did with Wednesday night, I believe. The other Sunday night, I was past going. The other Sunday, I was never felt like that in my whole life. But between 6 and 7 o'clock Sunday evening, something miraculously happened. Boy, there's a peace come upon me. God from heaven come and minister to my soul. Y'all was standing up here in a circle of prayer praying for me. Boy, glory! If that's legalistic, then I'm legalistic. That's what the prayer is. And assembling ourselves together, we lift each other up. We're in this thing together. We got to get through. And there's times I need you. There's times you need me. Exhort, encourage. Romans 10:17 says, see, when we come to church, our faith's increased. Faith come by putting your money in offering plate. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we hear God's Word read, it encourages our faith. It helps us to have more faith and get through the hard times and get through the trials. Now listen, you say, definitely I know Jesus is going to talk about it, but tithing. You think God needs your tithe money? He owns everything. He owns the cattle on Thousand Hillside and the tater in the hills. He owns it all. He don't need a dime from me. But he allows me to be part of the kingdom work.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. He gives and blesses me so I can be a blessing to others. Boy, I tell you what, when we get to heaven, there's going to be a bunch from the Philippines that's going to be slobbering all over you. Because we have been a blessing to these little missionaries from the Philippines. And boy, isn't it good to be part of a work like that. Amen. And see, the devil tries to say, well, he's preaching this old, same old, same old. No, it's not. It is us getting to be part of the kingdom work.
Amen.
Woo. And another one. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life when we won't talk to our brothers across the aisle. When we have love for the brethren. See, when Chip Ingram, I heard the other day, and he gave his testimony. First time I'd ever heard it like he give over the radio. The first time that he ever had been to a Christian athlete a ball camp, he saw two professional ball players hug each other. Put their arm around each other and said, brother, I love you. He said, I've never seen that from two men. And to this day, he's 70-some year old, I think. He's still, that memory is embedded. And he's seen those two brothers, them big, rough guys say, I love you, brother. I've got your back. Amen. See, that is something the world don't have. And if they see that in us, amen?
Amen?
Love one another as Christ has loved us. Then the full ear comes. All right, I'm just about done. The growing in the grace and the knowledge. I want to read you. A pastor had served a country church for many years. He had faithfully preached the Word of God and had regularly visited and witnessed in the community. His ministry in that church spanned many years, but there was little fruit and very few conversions. Eventually, the old preacher died. He went to his death convinced that his ministry in the little church had been a failure. A while later, the church called a new pastor. He preached the same gospel the same old preacher had preached. But an amazing thing happened. People began to get saved. In fact, a revival broke out. Many people in that community came to know the Lord. As they testified about their experiences, the people shared on things in common. One new convert after another testified and said that it was the faithful ministry of the old preacher that God used to awaken them in their need of a Savior. He planted. The other preacher got to see the increase. But the old man was part of it.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Then the satisfaction in verse 29. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth forth in the sickle because the harvest is come. This is our transition from our earthly ministry, earthly life, to life eternal. When God, we have fulfilled what He has for us to accomplish, He'll call us into glory. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, I know it's a few minutes after 12, but the Lord's laid this on my heart. But I want to share. I want to share my story. Jesus saved me. I grew up in church at a young age and made the profession at 10 or 11 year old. Was baptized. And then in just a few years, I got away from that. Quit going to church with my mom. I got into drinking, drugs, and rock and roll. If it was bad, I was part of it. And this hate that my life put Steve on the hot seat when Gary asked him last Sunday. I remember he stammered around. He wanted to say something good, but he couldn't. You'd have never thought I'd been a preacher if you'd known me in high school and when me and Rhonda got married. In fact, she's not here today, and I'll pick on her anyway. We went in and told Joanne and Lee that me and Rhonda was getting married, and Joanne cried like a baby. I don't think it's because that she was losing her daughter. I think because she's the son-in-law she's getting. And I didn't immediately change my ways. I still was involved in some stuff. I got a job away on the road and got away from old friends. Eventually got away from the drugs. I still drank a little up until I was 27 years old. Got to working with a man out on the job. He was a seed planter. He got talking about the things of the Lord. He's a preacher. His testimony, I'd made a point to ask him a morning how he's doing, because he'd say, I'm saved and on my way to heaven. If I was any better, it had to be twins. Boy, he had what I wanted. I'd been through everything. I'd done everything. He had a lot more peace and joy than I had, and I was a lot younger than him. And I got to reading my Bible. I got to studying. Got to praying. Then on May the 10th, Rhonda and I had started going to church May the 10th at Limestone back over in this area. Ronnie Mitchell preached a message on the prodigal son. Preached my life right now. In the message, I grabbed Rhonda by the hand and we came to the altar. We ain't neither one been the same since. We nailed it down at 27. It took a lot to get to there. But God was working all the time. God gave me a greater love for Rhonda than He did for all that stuff, and I started pulling away from it before He moved and worked, put people in their lives, and just so much I can look back and see God's hand and protection upon me. That's my story. What about yours? What about your story this morning? Do you have one? Do you have a testimony? Can you tell when Jesus started working on your heart? Do you know when He saved you? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt where you stand in the kingdom of God this morning? What's your story? See, it's important that you know your story, because that's your best testimony, your best witness. If you will write down your testimony in 3 to 5 minutes, memorize it, study it out. When you'll be somewhere, somebody will say something, and you can use that testimony. What is it Paul said over and over again? I was on the road to Damascus. I saw a light. I heard a voice. That's his story. That's what he used. How often? We stood before kings. He stood before anybody. He said, I was the roughest of the rough, but God saved me on the road to Damascus. See, our story is important. It's important that people knows our story. See, God can use our story to produce that fruit. Amen? You don't have to go to school and learn how to be a witness. Just tell what God's done for you. Amen? That's all that we have to do. What is it? The number one thing that'll sell a car. Not spend all the money on these commercials. A satisfied customer. If I was looking at two cars and Jay had one and Donna had the other and Donna said, I hate my car. That's the awfulest thing I've ever seen. And Jay said, I would buy another just like the one I've got. That's the best car I've ever had. And I was deciding between them two. Which one do you think I buy? Where'd you get yours at, Jay? A satisfied customer is the best thing in the world. But the important thing this morning, as I'm closing, is that you have got a story to tell. Amen. Have you got a story? Has Jesus saved your soul? Are you living in that kingdom, bearing fruit for His holy name? Or are we just muddling through? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. I thank You for this passage. I thank You, Lord.